Welcome to WeAreTechnology.com's User-Friendly 2.0 with host, Bill Sickens, Technology Architect.
And this is User-Friendly 2.0. Welcome to the show. We got a great show for you this week. Jeremy and Gretchen, welcome.
Hello.
Hey there.
So we're going to be talking a little bit later in the show. We've got some changes to our schedule coming up. They're moving some conferences around and different things due to coronavirus concerns. We're going to be talking about some advice from the World Health Organization on how to keep yourself safe and avoid getting sick. Also coming up in the episode today, we have an extended question and answer. We've been getting a lot of questions in, so we're going to try to answer them a little bit more and cover a little bit more detail of that. New segment coming right up after this. And then we are going to look at next week having an interview with William Defoe. So I'm looking forward to that. G's going to be on the show with that. And he had a chance to ask the actor some questions and has a little bit of a candid but great interview that we're going to be able to cover from that. So User-Friendly 2.0, great show for you today. Send us your questions and comments on social media, One User-Friendly at Facebook and One User-Friendly on Twitter. So what's in the news?
Coffee subscriptions now available. So, okay, you got to explain this to me.
Why not? I mean, you know, this is something being offered by Panera Bread. And what they're trying to do is be the Netflix, if you will, of coffee. So you pay a monthly fee, you get a card, and you get all you can drink coffee. And I, for me, that might be kind of dangerous. But but that's what this is about. So, you know, they're trying a lot of these subscription-based models, and they do make money in a lot of different things. There's all you can take movies at Regal Cinemas now. You pay a monthly fee. Services like Netflix, of course, have been around for a while. Disney Plus uses this kind of an idea. So this seems like a bit of a logical, maybe, next step into the idea of doing that with coffee. I don't see this happening at Starbucks anytime soon, but if you like Panera coffee, it's something to check out.
Well, it probably would bring people into the store, and they don't just sell coffee.
Yes, and I think that's a big part of it. It's a marketing thing, and you know, and then they get off of it. So we'll have to see how it goes and see how long this lasts.
The GDC is canceled due to coronavirus concerns.
Yeah, the coronavirus is ramping up out there. As of our recording, there's been 9 deaths reported in Washington State, and a lot of different infections. And they think that it's been communicated somewhat unchecked for a while now because of the way it's been tested. And a lot of different events we're seeing are canceled. The Game Developers Conference, we just found out that Google Next is going to be converted to a digital format this year. Again, the idea is to try and minimize travel and keep people healthy and safe. So, you know, I think at the end of the day, it's best to be vigilant of these things and watch. And we're going to have to see where this goes. And hopefully it's plateaued and is coming down now and won't get worse.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of disappointed. Yeah. Our next article is Apple settlement in Batterygate class action lawsuit.
You may or may not remember, but there was a problem that Apple was purposely slowing down iPhones as the batteries in the phone aged out. Now, the idea or what they tried to say this was that as the phone got older, it wouldn't have as much power and therefore would slow down to conserve it. The thing of it is, and we've run into this not just with Apple before, but with our Samsung phones on Verizon, where actually told by an employee of the Verizon store that sometimes they do send out updates and things designed to either cause an older device not to work at all or to change its functionality with the idea of selling new product. So Apple ended up in a massive lawsuit over this, and they've agreed to settle it. The settlement amount's going to be between $310 and $500 million. And there's still time to get on. If you've had a device that's been affected of this, this seems to be limited to the iPhone 6 series, 6, 6S, 6S Plus, and SE, running on iOS 10.21 or later, as well as some iPhone 7 devices before December 21st of 2017. You can go on and register and hopefully get part of the settlement.
Daylight savings starts tonight.
Now, I have my opinions on this, but from the way you read that topic, I think you do too.
Well, we all have opinions on daylight savings, and I don't think any of them are positive. So I don't really know.
I think it was a cool idea when it was first started, and it made sense. But life has changed so much since then. I don't really think it's necessary anymore. Yeah. I think it's kind of screwing with our sleep cycles and things.
I do tend to share your opinion, but actually something that might be important is the fact that a lot of other people do too. And the reason I say that way is because you're seeing all kinds of things kind of moving around out there where different states are looking at the possibility of eliminating changing the clocks. So tonight, I believe it's 2 a.m., we jump forward, we spring forward 1 hour in time zones that observe daylight savings. There'll be light later at night. It'll be dark in the morning again, which I'm not sure I'm looking forward to. But one of the big things with this is they find that when the clocks change, there are more accidents. There's less focus. People have to get used to it. And even though it's just an hour, it does take its toll. And like you say, it might be something whose time has passed.
Yeah.
All right. We have a software generating every possible melody to prevent copyrights.
Yeah. So this is kind of an interesting thing. And what it is this idea that there are people going out and trying to register copyrights on melodies. They create them, and it's kind of almost like a patent troll type situation. So these people have put together this app that sits down and is creating a library of every possible music calculation that there is out there. I guess calculation would be the right word for it.
No, it is an algorithm. So yeah,
it's an algorithm. Yeah. Cool stuff. So, and what they're doing is they're registering a copyright on all of these calculations and then releasing them to the public domain. The idea being that anybody can use the music. So I don't know if this is kind of a way to get back at the, I'll use the term music trolls for lack of a better term. I do see it from both sides of the fence. It's you create your own work. You want to be able to protect it. But on the same token, if there's people out there that are trying to just generate stuff so that they own the rights to it and make other people pay to use it, that doesn't seem cool either. So,
well, and then one of the reasons for this is there were two different lawsuits based on musical notation. And the most recent one was Sam Smith and Tom Petty. And it was about a three chord descending section of music. And, you know, like you're talking like four or five notes that they played, and it went in, you know, there's lawsuits, and Tom Petty wasn't involved in the song in any way, but he had, they're according to the lawsuit, he had to get co-authorship credit for the Sam Smith song.
Right. Right. And yeah, and I can kind of see where that's,
That's not right.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's an interesting thing because the artists that are out there, and I think people, I don't have a musical note in my body. I don't even do Rock Band well. I mean, you know, it's just where I'm at. And I consider, I love music. I love most kinds of music. And I do think an artist that's created their own work should have a right to benefit from that. But when you start going the other way here, you do have to figure out a way to strike a balance.
All right. WHO, who offers advice on COVID-19.
That's the coronavirus.
It's the coronavirus. Yeah, COVID-19. Yeah. Okay. And who is the World Health Organization? I know you love your acronyms. So, you know, we were talking about some of the events being canceled, and the World Health Organization has put out some ideas, and some of them are pretty common sense, but are still good to do and think about. The big one is wash your hands. More so than anything else, wash your hands. Or use an alcohol-based solution if you can't wash your hands. You're supposed to run in about 20 seconds with soap and water, warm water. Social distancing, which is why I think a lot of these events are being canceled or postponed for right now. Because that's
everybody can't keep a meter around them free, so that's kind of odd. But, you know, these are guidelines.
These are guidelines. Avoid touching eyes, nose, and mouth. Practice respiratory hygiene. Again, you know, common sense things. But the other big one, and it's hard in the United States, is if you're sick, stay home. But you can't always do that. You know, it's there are sometimes issues where you have to go into work and different things like that. So find out what your employee's policy is on all, or your employer's policy would be on all of that. And, you know, just be prepared. And the other thing of it is if you do go see the doctor and you think you might be infected with this, they're asking that you call first and not go sit in the waiting room and get everybody else sick. And they'll give you advice. And obviously, if you have an emergency, as in any emergency situation, call 911 and deal with it, you know, because this is killing people. So it is something that you want to take seriously. So this week, I got to go see the screening of the movie Onward. And I really liked it. I don't like a lot of movies, but this one was well done. It's a cartoon. It's put out by Pixar and Disney. And it's a story that is just kind of, it's, for me, it was a little bit of a tearjerker. And I don't want to give too much of it away out here, but you can go online, see the trailer, and get the actual plot from it. But it's kind of fun. It's modern age elves. Anybody that likes tabletop role-playing games would probably like this movie. Has a lot of concepts and that type of thing in there. And is something that I've missed for a little while with Disney is that it has a happy ending. It's like what we used to have in Disney movies. And I don't know. It's one you can bring the kids to. There isn't a lot of real weird stuff in it or anything like that. And definitely something that I would recommend. I also think that this one would be kind of fun to see in theaters. A lot of times I talk about the idea of wait for it to come out on Blu-ray or whatever. But it was kind of fun to actually sit in there, see this on the big screen. It's a good story. Keep yourself safe. You know, theater, again, is a social situation with the COVID virus that's going on. But as long as you practice good hygiene, get out there. It's a movie that I would recommend. This is User-Friendly 2.0. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back. This is User-Friendly 2.0. G, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. It's always good to be here, even if I'm here by phone.
Yeah, well, the phone works, you know, so...
It does. You know, that antique form of communication, I'll tell you.
But hey, to go on to a modern form of communication, we were talking a little bit in the news about the dark web. And this has been something
what
that's been out there.
What is the dark web? Explain that to me.
Well, background on it is basically it started in about 2000 with a network called FreedomNet. And the original idea was not to create a dark web. The original idea was an anonymous form of web browsing. And the problem with that is if it's anonymous, it kind of became anything goes very quickly. That net still is around. It runs on the internet. But what happens is a number of transactions can take place in complete quiet on this area called the dark web. And there's all kinds of things you can do, up to hiring a hitman, buying anything, and I do mean anything. There's, you know, just stuff that you wouldn't normally see in regular society, and for the most part is illegal. Now, where this gets really scary is terrorists and that type of thing are also starting to use these resources to communicate because it can't be tracked. But what's really set it off in the last couple of years, it was one thing to have communication in an anonymous way like that, but there was no way to pay for it. You still had to use real money. But with the onset of cryptocurrency like Bitcoin in recent years, it's created a situation where not only can you find a transaction, but you can complete it without anybody being able to track down any component of it, even the financial point.
But they could track my end of it. Let's say I was to use it, hire a hitman or something. They could track me, but they couldn't track.
They couldn't track the money you paid for it. Now, you don't get to the dark web through a normal browser like Chrome or Safari or Edge. You have to have special software. And what's happening is the government's starting to track the people that are downloading that browser. So that's one of the ways that the government can kind of figure out, you know, not necessarily what you're doing, but that you are doing something.
Well, but they can't track down what's already there.
They can't track down what's already there. And for a lot of people that use these resources, I call it that loosely because I don't know what the term would be, illegal resources, I guess. But they already have the software installed, so it doesn't shoot up a flare. So once you have that browser set up, you're pretty anonymous on what you do.
So I can't just find the dark web somewhere. I have to have an application that gets me there. But how do I find the application that gets me there? And maybe you don't want to tell me.
Well, and this isn't meant to be an instructions on how to get to the dark web, but the browser is actually the one that's used, and we can talk about that. It's called Tor, T-O-R. It's one of a couple that are used for that, and it has a lot of legitimate purposes, too, because if you want to just browse anonymously on the regular internet, it'll work for that as well. Now, the darknet does not come back on search results on something like Google or a system like that. You have to kind of know a little bit more about what you're doing to get to it. So you're not going to really stumble upon it. But yes, if you do install that software, it is possible to get there and you want to be careful. And, you know, it's amazing because what's out there looks like anything you'd see on the internet where you hire a hitman. It's the same kind of website that you would go to Amazon for and order dog food. Same thing.
Was there a list of people or something?
There's a list of skills. Yeah. And, you know, for that type of thing. And this is all the real deal. whatever the case may be. If you wanted, you know, to buy a gun illegally, I guess you could, that kind of a thing. But like I say, and it does get, not that a hitman's not scary to be able to hire that, but when you start talking about things like terrorism, human trafficking, and some of the other things that are going on with that, it does really become much more of a problem than it could be.
See, the question I have, so the government can track just about anything. You know, they have highly paid people like you. You're very highly paid for what you do, and you have certainly have the skills to dig into things more than I could. So they have people even more skilled than you are.
Absolutely.
So how come they can't find that?
Well, I mean, you're dealing with a couple of things that create a perfect situation. The internet by default was designed to not secure things, so open access. So you're already dealing with a system that isn't really meant for you to be tracked. Now, there's all kinds of ways they do it by IP address, all these other things that they can get in there and figure some of this stuff out. But then when you take another step to make all of that anonymous, it does become very, very difficult. Now, I'm not saying it's impossible. And you know something else that's very interesting about this, too? You talk about the government hiring people to deal with this. This system, the Tor browser, was actually created by the United States government back in 2000 so that they could hide what they were doing on the internet.
Of course. And then, of course, it's then been set up to the point where it's negative.
But, yeah, exploited, you know.
Exploited. That's a better term, but I don't have a very high opinion of government anyway. So we hear all these negative things about it, but what's positive? Is there some positive things?
Yeah, there's a legitimate use for this type of software, and it has to do with privacy primarily. We have given up a lot of privacy in the internet age, in the modern age. There's cameras everywhere. We've talked about that in the past. What you do online a lot of times is tracked, your email. So things like encrypting cell phones, which the government doesn't like, the reason the companies want to keep it encrypted, not put in a back door, is privacy. So using a browser like this does keep what you do online private. And where this works is things like if you visit a website and the website tracks you with cookies or it looks at other information, it can tell by a lot of different things who you are, your screen size, your equipment, you know, kind of put two and two together. It can get some kind of a location normally. Even if you have that turned off, there's still the ability to see what network you're on, what company, that kind of thing. So all of that, you might want to just simply be private. And a lot of us do. And you're not going to go hire a hitman. You just want to browse Amazon without them knowing where you're sitting when you're doing it. That's a legitimate use for this type of technology.
So, again, just kind of thinking out loud, what can let's say I hire a hitman. So can the hitman track me? The hitman knows who I am, and where I am, or do they? They can't track me either, right?
Yeah, they wouldn't necessarily be able to track you. I don't want to make promises of that because I've not actually done this. I was just looking at the site to see what it was.
That's a good thing to know. You haven't been a hitman.
Yeah, you
that's,
haven't done this. But gee, you're upsetting me a little bit lately. We need to talk. No, anyway, but the you're dealing with a situation where if it's set up on that end correctly, and the person doing the hiring knows what they're doing correctly, it's very likely that the two would not necessarily know who the other person is. There is a possibility the intermediary website that's hooking these things together might, but that information wouldn't necessarily be shared. Now, the one thing is you also have no regulation on these type of things, of course. So as a result of that, you don't actually know what they're doing with your information. They could be, you know, taking your information and then doing some kind of an identity theft situation or something on top of that. So again, I don't recommend this. It's out there. It's something that people are talking about, but it's not something you want to go do next time you browse the web.
No, not likely. I mean, I don't really care about hiring hitmen or sex trafficking or that kind of stuff. But it just seems to me that, you know, the internet has been a really good thing. You know, I mean, it's... We have more information available to us now than ever in the history of the world.
Absolutely.
That's phenomenal. And it's also, interestingly enough, now harder to determine what the truth is than ever before. But, and it seems like such a good thing. There's always somebody wanting to make it a really bad thing.
And that's the thing. For every good thing, there's going to be someone to exploit it. Gee, I've got to cut you off. We're out of time here. This is User Friendly 2.0. We'll be back after the break. Have you seen him? He's from the future. He's got a ring. Welcome back. This is User Friendly 2.0. Joining us from Las Vegas is Chaz. Chaz, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Bill. Nice to be on again.
So, you know, we've been talking a little bit today about coronavirus and some of the different things that have been happening. And I hear it's actually affecting you down south.
Yes, it is. There's a lot of major tech conferences in Vegas, and in fact, all over the world, that is being affected by the coronavirus fears, and rightfully so.
Now, you're in the process of launching a technology company. I know this because we've been working together on it, called Infinite Legacy, which was to launch, well, now in March. And I understand we're being delayed, too.
Yes, definitely. There's a lot of factors that is affecting the launch, travel, having a teleconference and stuff like that. Yes, it's Infinite Legacy LLC. You know, it's a veteran-centric company, founded back in 2019. But the idea actually came to me from experiences in 1991 in Desert Shield, Desert Storm. You know, when you're writing a letter to your loved ones, you know, hi, Mom, hi, Dad, I might not be coming back, love you. You know, kind of gave seed to the idea and the business model, which is, you know, I had to wait for technology to catch up with me. And here, 2020, here we are.
Yeah, and we're, you know, there's some components of this that are going to deal with virtual reality and some different things like that. And I know that we're excited about getting there, but it's a bummer that it's kind of been delayed here. But, you know, Amazon has announced this week that they're suspending travel even within the United States. So I can see where some of the smaller businesses like yours and like other mom and pop type things out there are being affected by this, if the big guys are too. Now, do you think that you're going to see a problem with this down in Las Vegas?
It's already affecting a lot of sporting events, you know, conferences. They've all slowed down because airlines are limiting travel. So we're seeing a downturn in visitors already. Right.
And already getting there. Now, fortunately, at least as we're recording today, Nevada hasn't had a case yet. I know up here in Oregon, we've had two, and we've seen some of the first deaths just north of us in Washington State in the United States. And I do think, you know, as this spreads, especially in a place that is very much based on tourism and visitors and that type of thing, I could see where it would be causing these type of problems. Now, on Infinite Legacy, how much of a delay do you think this is actually going to create in your ability to launch?
You know, we're taking, you know, alternative measures, and we had a contingency plan. So I think Infinite Legacy LLC will be able to launch within 2 months to 3 months. I think that would be the shortest of the delay.
Okay, well, that's good to hear. But, you know, in technology, that could be substantial, a couple of months.
It could be, yes. Luckily, we were ahead of schedule in the beginnings of the coronavirus event. So now we're back on schedule as far as the business plan. So we're looking good.
No, that's good to hear. And, you know, I think a lot more of the online businesses like Infinite Legacy that are able to use the internet when you can't, in this case, can't visit in person. But, you know, those type of things to avoid travel and that stuff, especially with some of the things going on in the world like coronavirus and just things like that, I think you're going to see a lot more need for these type of technologies. What do you think?
Most definitely. This coronavirus event, as well as travel altogether, you know, gives the public the need for our product. And, you know, Infinite Legacy LLC, you know, our tagline, leave this earth without telling their story. And these recent events actually gave us the motivation to work even harder to get our product.
Right, right. No, that totally makes sense. What are some of the changes you're seeing with that?
The changes in the business plan are to implement measures where, without giving too much away, you know, consumers can have a way to express to their loved ones in their time what they need to tell them if they plan on traveling or being in a situation that is not very accommodable.
Right, right. Or conducive to travel, right?
Right.
Yeah, yeah. And that that kind of thing, no, totally makes sense. But what I'd like to do is invite you back to talk about the company, maybe after, you know, hopefully we get through this and hopefully the virus is plateaued and will start dropping now. So I'd like to actually talk about the technology because in of itself, it's a topic that's going to be kind of cool. And what is out there is very unique, you know, that's being put together and kind of having a firsthand look at some of this. It's fun. And, you know, we're getting to a point that we can talk about it, even if the launch is a little bit delayed by world concerns. But can you keep us apprised on that and also what's going on in Las Vegas, if anything happens, good or bad, and we can bring it to our listeners here?
Will do, absolutely. And if any of the listeners have any questions, they can email me at infinitelegacyguru@gmail.com.
All right, we'll get that out on our social media. We're out of time, Chaz. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back. This is User Friendly 2.0. Send us your questions and your comments. We've got a special extended version of our question and answer segment for you today because we're getting so many questions in. Send yours in 503-766-6264 or One User Friendly on Facebook or Twitter or userfriendlyshow.com online. Any of those places you can submit a question. We can either bring you on the air or answer it off air and talk about it here. What's our first question?
What is the difference between SmartThings version 2 and version 3?
So that's a little bit of an interesting specific question. And what they're talking about here is a product called Samsung SmartThings. And what this is for is controlling a smart home. So these devices do things like turn the lights on and off, work with a smart speaker, and so on, as well as controlling locks and a variety of different things now. The Samsung version is one of the more widely used ones because it's an open source product, so anybody can make products that work with it. So you're not as likely to be locked in any specific ecosystem or manufacturer. And there are actually three different versions of the SmartThings Hub. Version 1, which was divested a long time ago. Version 2, which is what I use, and now they've come out with a version 3. Personal opinion, stick with version 2. You can still get them. Version 3, most products, you look at it that they actually upgrade them. In this case, they have half the memory, and it has less power, and they got rid of the battery backup for if the power goes out. So it does seem like to me that there are some less features. Now, the one positive is it's also a lot less cost. So the version 3 hub costs less, but it has less going on. Samsung says that it will still automatically be able to control some things locally, but more if its functions are sent out to a server and brought back. So I think the version 2 right now is the better one to get. Both supposedly are capable of doing the same thing. And there is an update coming out for the version 2 to add a few new features that are on the version 3.
Okay, our next one is, what is the dark web?
Yeah, this is ominous, isn't it? And kind of an interesting question, being that we touched on this in a previous topic on the show here. So, like we talked about earlier, the dark web is a place on the internet where illicit things can happen. You can buy anything, you can do anything, you can even hire a hitman. All of these kind of things are out there. You have to have a special browser to get to it. And again, we've gone through this in a lot of detail previously, but it is an area that most users probably want to stay away from, and you won't stumble upon it with a normal browser. You do have to have specific software and some other things to be able to get there. And definitely is something, if you download that browser, might attract the attention of law enforcement because they've been watching for it.
What is Android Auto?
Android Auto. Okay, a couple of years ago, it occurred to the cell phone manufacturers that doing things like driving and texting might be a bad idea. Yeah. And out of this, both Apple and Google have come up with products that are designed to make that safer. Google's version is Android Auto. And what this is the ability, a lot of cars are supporting it more and more with the newer in-car entertainment systems, where you can plug your cell phone into a USB port, or in some cases do it over wireless, where the phone controls things like the navigation, text messaging, and all that, and it's essentially sent to the screen in your car. But it's a product that's designed to be able to do things like voice response to text message, pause things, and eliminate or at least reduce the amount of distractions that you have while you're driving. Now, when this works, it's kind of cool. You have Google Maps on your dashboard, which brings a lot of features for navigation capability, being able to look up reviews. You can stream music services like Pandora, all of these different type of things. But so, the one problem is, if you look at the reviews on it, it doesn't seem to work well. There are some difficulties between certain phones and certain cars, so you might want to check that out.
So it's not like the enterprise's computer. You can't just talk to it and it works perfectly?
Not yet. I mean, we're heading that direction, but not yet.
Okay. Are you still going to Emerald City Comic Con?
Yeah, well, right now as we're recording, the answer to that is yes, but we're watching it closely. So As we talked about earlier, a lot of these trade shows are being postponed or even canceled due to coronavirus concerns. And right now, according to Reed Pop, who is the producer of the Emerald City Comic Con, the show is planned to go on. And as long as it goes and nothing too weird happens, we will be there. But a lot of companies, including DC, Dark Horse, and some others have pulled out because they don't want their people to get sick. And I do feel the same way. So if it comes down to that, then we might be making some changes. But as of right now, the plan is still to go.
Is electronic tax filing safe?
Yeah, you know, this question has come up a couple of times from listeners since tax season is here. And we hear all about a lot of the different things that are going on online with data theft and identity theft and that type of thing. So I did a little research on this topic to try and come up with an answer that wasn't the electronic filing people saying it was safe. But the reality of the situation is from everything that I've been able to see, and I played with this a little bit on TurboTax and H&R Block software and some of the other freebies out there, is that the connection to be able to file electronically is encrypted. It does seem to be relatively secure, and I haven't been able to find a lot of information on that being hacked. In fact, it looks like it's more likely that it could be stolen out of the mail than stolen in transit when it's electronically filed. So I would say that it's reasonably safe, with the caveat that anything you do online, there's always that possibility that someone somewhere will figure out a way in.
All right. Do you see movies in 3D? What exactly do they mean by that question?
What the question is talking about is going to a movie theater and watching a 3D version of a movie on the big screen.
I mean, like specifically looking for those movies.
Yeah. So
I mean, some people might have visual problems and can't see in 3D.
True. And usually you have options. You know, mainstream release, you're probably going to have an IMAX version. You're probably going to have a 3D version and a standard version. So the listener question here is, do we see movies in 3D? Do you?
We have.
What do you think of it?
Well, it depends on the film. Some of them are pretty bad.
And some of them are pretty good.
Yeah, as long as it's like if it was designed for 3D and not just, oh, hey, we should do this for a 3D. And you add in a couple of scenes that might look awesome in 3D. But if the whole movie is designed for it, it's actually pretty cool.
Right. So what do you think about the quality of 3D now? Is it something that you recommend?
It's improving.
It's gotten a lot better since the 80s.
Okay, I will agree with that.
I mean, you remember Jaws 3D with the red and blue glasses, and even if you took the glasses off because the film was really scary, you could still see it. It was just a little blurry.
Yeah.
Nowadays, it's not even blurry.
So, yeah, I think they still do give you 3D glasses, though, and I know I have a little trouble seeing the 3D, but I don't know. I guess it's worth seeing. The question also is, these generally charge more for the 3D version?
So yeah, I guess a couple bucks more.
Yeah. Do you like 3D, and do you want to bring the family and pay for that? Well, that's our questions for this week. Time runs out fast. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back. This is User Friendly 2.0. Great show this week, guys.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we talk about technology a lot around here. And one of the things that we do get questions on, and we're going to be doing a Q&A on this in coming weeks, is 3D printers. And Jeremy, you have a little experience with those.
A little.
So
a lot.
Is it good or bad?
Mostly good. I mean, you know, it's cool when you can print stuff and then, you know, glue it all together and sand it and fill all the cracks and holes and whatnot and then paint it. And it looks really cool.
So but it's really bad when it starts spewing out like spaghetti.
Yeah, so I've been hearing a little bit about this. But before we get to that, for anybody that's not familiar with the technology, give us a quick description of a 3D printer.
Basically, it is a device that takes a spool of plastic, melts it, turns it into a much finer wire of plastic, and then prints it out in little layers depending on how the shape goes in the computer. And you pick it up off the bed plate, and it's a thing. And sometimes there's more than one piece, or depending on how big your bed is. I mean,
so, the bed and the printer, and it actually spits out 3D printed objects, which is cool.
Yes. So, and remember, NASA is using 3D printers for some of their stuff because the tolerances are tighter when you 3D print it than when you machine it by hand from the machine.
So it's kind of like a replicator in a way.
Kinda.
Yeah. Okay. For our Star Trek fans. All right. So
it just takes a lot longer.
Yes.
Now, I know you have two printers, and I know you've been having some trouble. So tell us about what you've been dealing with.
Okay. The first printer that I got is an XYZ DaVinci Junior. And it printed fine, but then the head, there was like a misalignment inside the head, and it filled with plastic, and then that solidified inside the printhead.
Okay, so it broke the printhead.
Yeah, so I bought a new printhead, but it's now a different size than the other one. It's got a smaller nozzle, and it clogs. So I'm not sure if I'm doing something wrong. So I've got to get in contact with tech support, because while it clogs, it also broke the feeder tube. So now the feeder tube is broken, and it spewed out the spaghetti like you guys saw in the photos on Twitter.
Right. Okay. So like any new technology, it's bound to have some problems. I remember when inkjet printers came out, and we had similar things where the ink would dry and the print heads would go out and all that kind of stuff. So I'll bet you know, you're dealing with it. But when they do work, they're cool. And I've seen some of the stuff you've made out of them, which has just been phenomenal to think that you can actually do that now. And these devices are being used. They're talking about it in the medical industry to greatly improve people's quality of life, that, you know, have some situations where they can help. And I've even heard that they can 3D print food in some situations.
Probably depend upon your filament you're using. If it's made out of edible objects, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so you'll have to let us know how this goes, and we'll have to talk about this a little bit more. Saying in the beginning of the show, we're going to have an interview with William Defoe next week. We're going to be covering a number of events. This is User-Friendly 2.0, keeping you safe on the cutting edge.
User-Friendly 2.0 is copyright 2020, User-Friendly Media Group, Inc. The views and opinions expressed in this show are those of the host and not necessarily User-Friendly Media Group, Inc. or this station. Music licensing by BMI. Hosting provided by WeAreTechnology.com. Podcast available at TheAnswerPortland.com or UserFriendlyShow.com.